Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I just want to tell you, and I mean this, I'm a friend of the current guest. His name is Pete White. He is the chairperson of the Pittsfield City Council. And believe it or not, while he's been through, he's running for re-election. So I've tried to counsel him, but he just doesn't listen. So, Peter, good morning, and thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me and, you know, all of my colleagues and people who are hoping to get on the council. It's an important service that PCTV and you provide.
Well, I try. Sometimes it's like trying to herd cats, but we make it work. Without the team and out on Federico Drive, this would never take place. But I also sincerely, all kidding aside, want to thank you and wish you good luck in your reelection. I want to thank you for running again. You know, you've been through the ringer on many occasions, yet you come back to serve the city. I think that's a very admirable trait.
Thank you, Bill.
First of all, why have you this is my first question. Why have you decided to run for reelection?
I love Pittsfield. You know, I love the Berkshires, and I just want to do my part to keep things moving in a collegial direction, in a direction that serves the people. I know there's a lot of people who can disagree with individual decisions that we make. However, I put in the work, I put in the time, I do my homework, I really study every issue before we vote on it. And there are times where when you put in that homework and everything else, you end up delaying votes on things because you still want more information and there's still more to be done on it. And I feel I'm still being effective in my role. And I think it should be up to the voters. If they agree or disagree, it's great this year that we have choices in many of our races.
Yeah.
And that it's how democracy works is when people put their names on the ballot and give the residents choices.
I think you're, Peter, you're so right. Watching the council work, and I think in fairness to all the people involved with policy making, I know people get me, stop me on the street, call me, text. They're frustrated with A, B, or C. But they don't understand many things are much more complicated, much more demanding financially than others. And you just can't snap your finger and it'll happen, especially in today's budgetary dilemma.
Yeah, I think most of the frustrations that I see that come from government are from misunderstandings or lack of information.
Yeah.
So, you know, shows like yours that highlight not only elected officials, but the people doing the work, the department heads,
who
come on and explain projects in more detail. It's really difficult if you're trying to decide everything versus or on a headline article.
Yeah.
You know, if you see something quick, if you see a Facebook post on something, it's hard to determine what's going on. You know, we've had council agendas that have had 1,400 pages a few months ago, down to the last one that had like, I think, 250.
Wow.
And councilors really spend a lot of time going over all this information. As you know, subcommittees are where a lot of the real work happens. And if you don't watch the subcommittee, if you don't follow meetings that led up to the meeting where the vote has been taken, you may miss out on a piece. And, you know, that's where when someone stops you in the grocery store, you can have that conversation with them. You know, you see them out at the farmer's market or other events that we have.
Yeah.
You can give them that little bit more information. And I think that's why it's important that councilors can be that liaison between the public and city government. Because, you know, to me, I like government more than I like politics. I think we could do a lot less with politics and have more focus on government. And that's what I strive to do.
And over the past couple of years, I mean, some great things have happened. Some great bills have been passed, but initiatives have been made. Just this morning in the paper, funds given to local businesses to expand or businesses to come. I mean, that to me is amazing. What's been done, and I liked what you just said. I like government more than I like politics. That's I got to remember that. Of course, I can't remember where I parked the car, but if I ask you to repeat it 55 times, go ahead.
All right. Well, in Pittsfield, a lot of times you get into government through politics. So it's an avenue to get there. It
Right.
has its place. I like to leave it, though, in its place after elections and then get really down to the
Yeah.
real work of the people. But I'm glad that you brought up the recent funding that was given from the Pittsfield Economic Development Funds for
Yes.
businesses to expand or relocate here in Pittsfield,
Yeah.
because we get a lot of pushback on things like that, that why does a company that has, X million or billion of dollars need city funding? Well, if you watch the meetings or if you look at the documents behind the scenes, a lot of times
Yeah.
the funding that we provide allows the state to either match or put in more funding for that business to come here. And if Pittsfield doesn't want to, put some money into the game and show them that we want them here, it would be easy for them to choose another community. We have to
Absolutely.
market ourselves, we have to make ourselves attractive to businesses, and we really have to scrutinize the details of, okay, for what we're spending, what is the return going to be, and what clawbacks are in there to where if they don't meet their benchmarks, they won't
Yeah.
get the money that we've allocated.
Yeah. I think it's a well, these documents, in my opinion, they're well written and they protect us, the citizens, should somebody default on what they said they were going to do. And I know there's been instances in the past when they've clawed back that money. So I we have to grow Pittsfield. And to grow Pittsfield, sometimes you gotta give a little to get a lot. And that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and having the county archives empty,
Yeah.
just being a waste of space does us no good. But having a company wanting to come in that's already been successful in Chicopee,
Yeah.
wanting to move, start moving operations over here, providing local jobs, providing, more money being spent in the community is going to have long-term benefits. And then whenever you can take a homegrown company like Elegant Stitches and continue to assist them with expanding, employing more people, doing more
Yeah.
in the community.
Yeah.
We are here to provide the environment for businesses to be successful. And when we can help them,
Yeah.
not just help them, but help them employ more people and put more money into the economy, that's really what we're here for.
And I think Elegant Stitches especially is they've earned it. They've been here through thick and thin, through COVID, through all this stuff, and still maintain the business. In my humble opinion, I think they've earned the right to get one of these grants. And so, Pete, this is a question I think you're probably very familiar with. What do you believe are the biggest challenges the city is facing over the next 2 years?
Over the next 2 years, definitely continuing to address housing issues, whether that's, rental costs, whether it's people who don't have houses, people without homes, the affordability of mortgages, updating existing housing stock, the taxes that we pay to stay in our homes, and really trying to, deal with a lot of things that are out of our hands because it's from the state or federal level. We're not the only place with a housing crisis, but what are we doing to, address the needs? We have a lot of housing coming online thanks to the funds that Mayor Tyer put in place
Yeah.
and Mayor Marchetti has continued to support through ARPA that I hope will have benefits for us down the line. But it's definitely something we need to continue with. It's we're seeing it everywhere. If you listen to NPR, you listen
Everywhere.
to, any news anywhere, they're
Yeah.
having the same problems. We're trying to put things, we just put into place rules for short-term rentals,
Yeah, I saw that.
putting
Yeah.
some limits on those, because when a short-term rental comes online, it does take a spot out of the yearly, year-round availability of housing. So it's
Right.
something that we have to address. And before that was put in place, before our city planner brought those plans to us and the new regulations, we had no protections, and it was very difficult for the building inspector or anyone else to uphold any kind of bottom line because there was nothing written. It was basically like they didn't exist because we didn't have them in code. Another thing is always going to be public safety, continuing to make sure that our police, fire, emergency management have the tools they need, which is getting harder and harder. I know you talk all the time on what could be done with civil service. And, you
It's
know,
just broken, Pete.
it's something we need to keep addressing. We have unions now. We need to get the unions on board with some plan that moves us forward. I know the state's moving in a few different directions, but I know with police and fire, I'm always going to be a supporter of
Oh, me
making sure
too.
what they need and also continuing to change how they do their mission, adding more co-responders. Their mission is constantly expanding. We need to make sure they have tools like co-responders so they can meet the needs of today until whatever other social service needs and agencies can meet those needs.
And
Because
we know there's a huge shortage of mental health professionals in, and I mean to step on you, but and so consequently, sometimes the police and the fire are picking up and assisting people who need mental health issues. And I applaud the Breen Center and all the people involved in it, but there's a shortage.
there definitely is. And I think there's, you know, not at the city level, but at the state and federal level, we need to look at reimbursements for the agencies that are providing these needed services and making sure that they're being reimbursed or given the grant money, the contracts that allow them to pay people who are going to stay here and be stable forces in the community as well, because they're not easy jobs.
They're not, and the before just move up. Civil service had its time and its place. It hasn't kept up with time and evolution. We have unions now that give as much, if not more, protection, in my opinion, than civil service. And I know I've talked with some people on the PD and the fire. Some still want it as a kind of like a protection, but their unions give them protection. And it costs the city a fortune in overtime because of lapse in filling positions. And as my understanding is, you got some more significant retirements coming up in the next 2 to 4 years. So,
I think you're always going to be looking at retirements and how to do succession planning. And the civil service piece is going to be a huge part of that conversation. And the unions need to be a part of that conversation.
absolutely.
But
I agree 100%.
moving on to some of the other issues that we're going to face in the next 2 years, our school system, you know, with our new superintendent, I think we are in good hands over the next year with her coming in and really looking with an outside lens on what needs to be done. They're also discussing, you know, changing grade levels, what schools are going to be used, what schools are not going to be used. And for, you know, my plea is for people to really pay attention to the school committee race. You know, we have great candidates in that race, but it's also, I think it's scary in Pittsfield that every 2 years we could lose every elected official except mayor, but every 4 years we could lose every elected official across the board and lose all institutional knowledge. With our schools, we're going to have the mayor returning on the school committee, and we have one incumbent running for re-election. So it's more important than ever to make sure those people who are running know our schools, have ideas on what to be done, and are critical thinkers that can look at all the issues facing our school system and our city, which includes the homelessness issue, which includes public safety. There's so much more that goes into being a school committee member than what the general public sees from meetings or hears in the news. I think if you have any comments on that before I go on to my last
No, I
piece.
think you're 100% right. I only comment I have I interviewed a few and I'm impressed. I'm impressed with their backgrounds. I'm impressed with their commitment to the school committee to the kids and to the addressing issues. So while the learning curve is huge, I think these people will minimize it.
I don't want to get into, endorsements or anything like
Oh, I
that
don't.
on
Yeah, I
him,
don't either.
but I know there are some people running for school committee this year that have long education backgrounds,
Yes.
have served in so many different ways, and I really hope the people, the voters of Pittsfield, look into all of them to make sure we get the best school committee we can get. I can remember too many races where you may have a choice of one seat or no seats because there's six people running for six seats. I think we have nine people running this time, and that's an extremely great
Yeah.
opportunity for voters. Same in the at-large race, having seven people running for the four
Yeah.
seats. That's what elections should look like, and I'm hoping we can get a good turnout so we're not being elected by a small number of people, but we're being elected by a majority of Pittsfield to do the work for Pittsfield.
I hope so, Peter. And again, I want to thank you for running for re-election.
I got one more on that
Yeah, go
two-year
ahead.
list that we
No, go
definitely
ahead.
need to keep looking at, and that's infrastructure.
Okay.
With our water, we've done the sewer upgrades
Yeah.
down at the plant. We're still looking at water upgrades ongoing. Our roads continue to get better. I think we've gone from everyone voicing concern over too many potholes to everyone voicing concern over there's construction everywhere because something's being done. So what I'm hoping is we can keep up on the construction so we can get to a point where we're not voicing as much concern over the condition of the roads in the winter, and we're having less construction but more upkeep. So the interruptions will be less as the city continues to invest in our road infrastructure, trying new techniques like fog sealing, where you see the entire road covered in tar versus just crack sealing, which
Yes.
just does the individuals. When we go to MMA in January, if I'm lucky enough to be reelected, we'll also be talking to the companies about, I think there's a clear fog seal that may cost a little bit more, but you might not have to restripe the roads. I think that's something we need
Yeah,
to
yeah.
look at. But fog sealing is just something new in the last few years that we've implemented after a few councilors and mayors and department heads saw it
An action.
shown at the Massachusetts Municipal Annual Conference. So
Very good.
infrastructure, our schools, public safety, and housing issues are definitely going to be on the forefront of what we're doing, along with just the day-to-day, things that we deal with at every meeting.
Dealing with these, what's going to be your best approach? You mentioned some things. How, like, let's just take one and zero in on it. I agree the infrastructure. Do I get frustrated at going and this street's closed and that? Sometimes, but I also look at it as that's progress. And I would also say, like Valentine Road, the way they're doing that is the way they should always do major renovations like that. Get the gas lines in, get the water line, don't pave the road and then dig it up 2 months later to put in a new gas line.
Valentine Road and East Street are probably the two most frustrating roads to drive on because of the construction, but you're absolutely right. The city is finally doing it right, saving the money by not tearing it up every month and then
Yes.
repaving it just to have it, get all the work done, put all the new infrastructure in to the extent possible,
Sure.
and really coordinate efforts between gas company, electric company. We have these new fiber companies coming in. Make sure we know what road work is looked at in the next 5 to 10 years, underneath the roads before we just pave over it,
Yeah.
just have it torn up again. And, continuing looking at better materials to use too if something comes up.
Sure. And again, what do you find the most rewarding part of being a city official? I mean, other than people yelling at you.
The most rewarding part is just when somebody contacts you with an issue and you can find resolution to it. It can be a small issue, it can be a larger issue. It's rarely something that I, put on an agenda through a petition because I work with department heads. I work with, our city departments just to try to find resolution for people. And when you can do that, that's what keeps me going. We're doing the work of the people, and there are times you get big wins at council meetings, you feel good stuff that gets put in the paper, but when you can solve a neighborhood issue or something going on that was really affecting someone's quality of life, those are the ones that feel really good. And those can also play into the infrastructure. They can play into the housing. They play into public safety and other things. You just have to be out there listening to people and making sure that you're not so thick-skinned or so calloused that you're not hearing what people have to say, and you're not saying, "Oh, these people are complaining." I try never to use the word complaining. I say voice and concern, because anytime somebody talks to me about an issue that they have, I hear it as if I'm talking to someone about the issue, and I want to have people voicing concerns, not making complaints.
And I think most of the counselors that I've answered that's what they've answered, is when you can help somebody because of your position. And that to me is admirable. What do you find the most? You ready? Challenging part. Just you can only pick one.
When
No.
you can't solve the issue for the person because there's a building code or there's something that doesn't quite address it, it's a gray area where the city doesn't quite have jurisdiction over it, even though it looks like something's clearly a violation of something, but you can't pinpoint it. So when you have to give them that answer that I'll keep trying, but I don't have a solution for you right now. And I know you said only pick one, but that goes directly to the our homelessness concerns. We don't have a place for everyone to go. We need to continue to work on the entire system to provide opportunities for people to succeed. That's why we try to bring jobs in. That's why we do things to attract new businesses, expand businesses that are here, so people have those opportunities. Co-responders to listen to someone to find out what are your needs, why are you in this spot, and then working with the agencies that are out there that are trying to help people and seeing what we can do to make their jobs a little easier while also not letting the standards of being in a community slide.
Yeah, and I that's an excellent answer, because today it's an evolution in everything in society. From technology's brought a lot of it on. Changes in social norms has brought, and so I think you're dead on there, saying that we may have to write new codes, the old you civil service saying, well, we've always done it that way. Well, guess what? It doesn't work anymore. I applaud the vision that the council has with a lot of what they're doing. And I also have sometimes a criticism of when we have companies or department heads or whatever. They're good people, and sometimes I think some of our counselors get carried away and really, I don't want to say they're mean to them, but they're not collegial. You use the word, I'll use it. If you have a department head and you have an issue with that department, or you don't understand, or you disagree, I disagree with people on this program all the time. I will not. And that's okay, but I will not be disagreeable, and I won't let them be disagreeable.
We've had our disagreements over the years, and we've
Through
always
the
talked
years,
through them. And I think with, if I could give advice to anyone new coming in, get to know the city departments, get to know especially
absolutely.
the department heads, because you get your council packet on a Thursday or a Friday. You have the entire weekend to read it over, and then you have Monday and Tuesday to reach out to them and contact.
Right.
them and ask questions. And it doesn't have to be, can you give me this answer right now so I don't ask it on TV? It can be, hey, I'm going to ask this
Right.
question because I'm getting it asked of my constituents.
Right, right.
Can you have an answer for me? Can you look up the information? Can you bring me the information? So when I ask you at the council meeting or the subcommittee meeting, you know that it's coming because no one can predict every single
Yeah.
question that's going to be asked. And counselors can't always predict the questions that might come up during a meeting. But if you know you have something that you're going to ask, just shoot an email just to that department head saying, hey, I know you're going to be there tonight. I don't want to catch you off guard with this. Can you just have an answer or some sort of, response to this so we can move forward hopefully tonight and not have to delay this anymore? Because if I don't have an answer on this, I don't feel comfortable voting on it. And that goes for, any board or commission that you're on. If you know something before a meeting, just give them a little heads up and ask them to bring the answer.
Otherwise, it appears as though it appears that you're playing a gotcha game, and I don't think that's fair to our the people who work for the city, especially department heads, or people coming in to do business with the city. If there's a, you got a legitimate concern, that's one thing. But you and I know a lot of people are nervous when they come before the council, even business people, and so I agree. That's a I defer to the late, great Lou Markham, who made it a point of knowing every department head and spending time with them. Now, I understand all counselors can't do that. I also refer to the late, great Jimmy McCaffrey, who said, took me a year to find out where the bathroom was there. But he said, what I did for my first year is I listened and learned. And I and
And
he didn't come in with an agenda. And that's what he would say if he, God willing, he was still here.
I have great respect for both of them. Lucky to have known both of them,
Yeah.
especially Coach Markham, probably one of my big mentors in what to say and what not to say
Yeah.
over the years. Absolutely love the man. But yeah, getting to know department heads, and over the years, it's actually become easier because some things have been implemented to where there's now a new counselor orientation.
Yes, that's right.
I believe it was Helen Moon and maybe Counselor Persip who brought that in years ago, where we, for before the council is settled in, the mayor and council president at the time meet with department heads and new counselors to introduce them, give them an overview. And it's almost a condensed version of the Citizens Academy
Yeah.
that Catherine Van Bramer in the mayor's office has put into play. Because the people who go through the Citizens Academy that she runs
Yeah.
really learn the city, they learn all the
Oh.
department heads, everything that needs to be done. So it's nice that there's also an abbreviated version of that for counselors to learn and to know who you're going to reach out to.
Right.
And then also, I see, my role as council president is for new counselors or existing counselors, when they have a question of, I don't know what to do with this, they can kind of come to me and, or whoever's in
Yeah.
my role and say, what would you do with this? What's your advice on it? Other counselors who have been around will do the same. So, we can talk to each other within the confines of open meeting law. So no one has to be clueless on any way to help a constituent or to look into something.
Pete, you've got about 3.5 minutes to tell the voting public that watching and listening to this program why they should vote to re-elect Pete White to the city council.
Bill, first, thanks for having me on. And I've always gone with being that I'm approachable, I'm accessible, and I'm dedicated to Pittsfield. I'll continue to do that. I've never made, or at least tried to never make rash decisions. I look into every issue and I try to just do what's best for the voters of Pittsfield. I love living here. I love working for our residents and our businesses, and I'll continue to do that as long as I'm reelected. I want to continue to work for you.
Peter White, he is running for re-election to the Pittsfield City Council. How many years have you been on the council, Pete? I was trying to look it up, but I forgot.
Over at the end of this term, it'll be 10 years at large, and I was 2 years ward, so 12 years overall.
12 years, a solid contributor. I wish you, and again, let me say this: I thank you for running again. You've got a busy life. You've got a full-time job. Yet you come back into the circle of people that I really believe there's a big circle of people who live in Pittsfield, some elected, some aren't elected, that want Pittsfield to thrive. And I applaud you for coming back into the struggle. I guess sometimes it is, but most of the time it's pretty rewarding. Peter White, he is currently the city council president. He is running for re-election. Peter and I want you to do this. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. There's no excuse in the city of Pittsfield not to vote. They have made it as easy and as really time not consuming to go ahead and vote. You can go to the city hall, you can go to the polls. I prefer to go to the polls, but whatever. If you don't vote, this is my say, Pete, feel free to use it. If you don't vote, don't gripe because you had your opportunity. That said, Peter, God bless. Say hi to your mom. I wish you and all the people the very best. Good luck to everyone. And thank all of you who are running. The city appreciates it.
Thanks,
Take
Bill.
care, Pete. Have a
Have a
good
good one.
one. Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. As you know, we are interviewing the candidates running for public office. I'm honored and privileged to have with me today Jacob Klein. He'll introduce himself. He is a running for a seat on the school committee. So please stay tuned. And following this, we'll have another interview. It's important. It's really important that you get out and vote in this midterm election because they have low predictions. But you know what? This particular election brings you set the table. who's going to be the city council, who's going to be on the school committee. They're the people that directly affect us every day. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Jacob, good morning, and thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me here. And before I get started, I just want to say I'm really appreciative for all that you do, Bill.
Well, thank you.
You do a lot of good work.
Well, I try. So there'll be people who will argue, but I do try. I do want to thank, first of all, before we even get started, thank you for running. Thank you for putting your hat in the ring. As you know, and I know, that's what makes democracy work, people being involved. With that, I wish you good luck. And the first question is, probably it'll catch you by surprise. It won't. Please introduce yourself and tell us about yourself. Who are you? I know who you are, but the folks got to learn.
Well, I'm Jacob Klein. I'm 18, and I go to Pittsfield High School. I'm a senior there, and I've got a heart of compassion, and I'm interested in running because back in 2023, I had this really severe brain injury. Ooh. And, you know, I still face challenges from that, but it's made me resilient. And it's made me learn a very important lesson. I'm very grateful for my existence and for my life. Just to be here is a blessing in its own way. And to be able to run for the school committee, that's just something incredible. And I'm very appreciative for being able to come through some of these challenges and to be on this meeting with you.
Well, Jacob, you and I live a similar life. I was a soldier in Vietnam, and a couple of nights I wasn't sure I'd ever see the morning sun. So every day when I get up, I thank the good Lord, and take it one step at a time. And someday I'll tell you about one step at a time.
Well, Bill, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your attempting to service. That's great. And I do want to say, too, for the viewers and listeners, William Garrity was a young man who ran for school committee. I believe, did he went to PHS too? I believe.
I thought he went to Taconic.
Or maybe Taconic, one of them. When they have two high schools, they get an old man like me confused. And he showed us, as Jacob could, and maybe will, you don't have to be a certain age to be on the school committee and have a devotion and an interest and be involved. And I would just hold Mr. Garrity out as an example of how important it is to have younger people on the school committee, especially students. They're in the fray. They're there every day.
I hope to inspire other young people. I mean, this is where it begins. It starts with the youth and it starts locally. We can only live in a successful world if we build up from the bottom, a good foundation, you know?
Jacob, you're an amazing young man. That's all I'm
saying. Thank you.
What you are. And what talents and or experience will you bring to this position?
Well, I'm bringing something that the other candidates don't have. And that's, I'm currently a student at PHS. So my point of view is completely different because I'm seeing how things are affecting us. I'm seeing how students are acting, how administrators responding, how the teachers are teaching. And the other people, they're not currently students at PHS. I mean, so, and I also started Berkshire Weather,
yes,
a weather forecasting website. And, so that's given me some like experience working with the community, but this will be a big leap, but I'm looking forward to any challenges that'll arise because I'll be able to learn and to grow and to become a better person.
What an excellent way to enter into any endeavor. And I say that, and I mean that sincerely. Being open to learning, bringing in the experience and real life, let me say it one more time, real life experience you get every day in the school. So good for you. You kind of alluded to it, but it why have you chosen to run for public office? I mean, you're a young person, you got a lot But you decided to give up this time to become involved in the operations of the schools. Well, why did you do that?
I'm grateful for my life, and it's inspired me to give back. And I want to inspire others to feel the compassion and appreciation that I have. I see so many challenges in our community, and it really makes me sad. And I want to make the world a better place, and I have to start from the bottom and work my way up. You know, it takes local, it takes everybody coming together and listening to each other.
That's so true, and I find today the people they're not listening with the intensity or the devotion that they should, because they're quick to respond before they've heard all the facts. And and again, these are pre-canned questions. So how do you believe you can contribute to the school committee? Personally contribute.
Personally? I see the district, and I just don't see a lot of student engagement in any of the ways, you know, in learning in classroom or in even making decisions. And I believe students, teachers, and administrators, they're part of the district. They should have a lot of say in what goes on. And I believe as a student, I might be able to speak to my fellow students in a way that, you know, adults won't be able to.
Yeah. And would you also do that and to encourage student government people in the school to run for student class government, to run for other offices within?
I encourage them to engage in the community any way possible.
Yeah.
It could be through clubs, government, anything. You know, it's important to be engaged with our society, because we're all part of it. And for it to be successful, it takes us, all of us.
Yeah. All of us trying to pull the wagon in the same direction, if that's the way we should go. Because,
and we might have different ways of pulling the wagon, but at the end of the day, we're all still trying to pull the wagon.
There, you nailed it. You beat me to the punch, but you got the punchline out right perfectly. If elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or a committee chair?
I mean, I'm pretty young, but I'm open to all opportunities. I mean, I can't say no. I'm interested in learning. I'm interested in taking up the responsibility.
That's encouraging. I find that encouraging that you would do that. That you're that committed. If you get elected, you're that committed to becoming an active part. You're just, pardon the expression, you're not going to be just a houseplant sitting there.
I don't want to be just a houseplant. I'm running to be involved.
That's the point I want to get out to everybody. Yes. In your opinion, what do you believe are the most urgent concerns that need to be addressed within the school system?
Student engagement. You know, people always talk about absences, but I don't just look at our students missing school. I look at why are they missing it? And if they're at school, why are they sometimes not fully engaged with the learning? And from what I've heard, it seems like there's safety concerns. You know, we live in a country where a lot of tragedies happen at schools, and I know some students are worried about that. So I want to make the students feel safer. I want to give the teachers the tools they need to help our students succeed. And I want to find ways to get students to, like, look forward to going to school, to seeing their friends, to having meaningful discussions and learning and growing as people. I mean, that's why the schools are here, to educate the youth, but not just one way. We have to, like, listen to all the ideas, and we have to get the students discussing things. And, you know, this engagement is the key to everything, because if students aren't engaged, then they're not going to learn. And if they're not going to learn, it defeats the whole purpose of everything.
How would you structure the implementation of this engagement philosophy of yours? Because I'm an old man. You probably didn't notice that. Thanks for not noticing. I know, but I've seen a lot of plans that were made by other people but handed to me to implement. And I would love to know how you would plan and then take your plan and implement it. Because basically, as you know far better than I, this is a whole new concept that you're proposing.
Any good plan won't just come from just me, right, just the school committee. It comes from the students, the teachers, and the administrators. And I want to have discussions with these people, maybe gatherings of students, teachers, and administrators, and see how what they think's wrong. If I looked at it, what just me, then that's selfish. I wanna yeah, have the community learn and come together. And I just want to be a representative, how to make their ideas heard, because I don't see a lot of what students want. It's always top down. Why not more bottom up?
That's an excellent point you've just made. Do you have any examples of what, like, as a student, take yourself for now, as a student, bottom up, what are you looking for? I know more engagement, but kind of some specificity. I just learned that word. I wanted to use it.
It's very strict in the day, you know, and each student, they have their own needs and their own challenges, but they also have their own skills and things that they can be successful at. And I want the schools to embrace that, because I'm very lucky to have two independent studies at school where I can pursue my own passions and learn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I want other students to have those opportunities more widely available, because if someone's interested in learning something that, say, might not be like a main course at a school, we shouldn't discourage them from wanting to learn. We should encourage their individuality and their uniqueness.
How did you and other students fare this last year at PHS?
Well, let's just say there was a lot of drama at PHS, as I'm sure the community's aware of. And
oh, yeah.
I don't want to name names. I'm not interested in doing that. But it was a lot of anxiety, and worst of all, you know, school. You want a good foundation, and the foundation was completely destroyed. You come into school, you don't know what you're going to expect. And there was just a lot of emotions, and, you know, I don't know, like the students, if they got the supports they needed, if they were able to discuss these things, because sometimes when there are issues in the community or the real world, the policy is don't talk about it, don't bring it into school. But I think we have to, because students need to be informed, and they need to feel comfortable to say when maybe they're worried or they're upset.
I concur 100% with your response to that. I really do. I would imagine that there were very difficult days last year for students.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what is your, if you get on the committee, is there a school committee? Is there a special subcommittee you want to be on? Have you looked into that?
I have not looked into that yet, but I'm planning to look into that. So, you know.
Yeah, no, but that's fair. How much time do you think you will be able to devote in a week to your business on the school committee?
Well, I mean, I'm a student, so I would hope to engage my time at the school even in, oh, as learning and as being a student, as being able to be a school committee member, if that makes sense.
That That's really an interesting viewpoint, and thank you for that, because I didn't figure that in. You are a student, and so consequently, is this fair to say, you're going to be living your committee assignment should you be elected?
It's true. If students are angry, they're going to be angry with me personally, and I don't want that.
Right.
But if they're happy, I'll be able to hear that, and I'll be able to listen to them. Because as things come up, they'll be discussing with me, and I'll be listening and learning, and I'll be living it as my daily life.
You know, I guess, and we kind of have covered this, but I'd like to backtrack a little bit. You're a young man. You're 18. You're in high school. Let me just ask you. You say engagement, but that made you run for this office, and I think the viewers and listeners would really get your gut on that. You are a convincing person that engagement is your thing, and you will bring that to the school committee. That's very, sorry about that. It's one of my many bodily alarms. That kind of give us a little depth. You thought about this, you've witnessed it. Now you may have the opportunity to implement it.
Well, let me give you an example that I see at PHS.
Please.
When I'm at PHS, I've come to notice in more recent years, it seems to me that more and more students are just wandering the hallways.
Ooh.
And, you know, a lot of people will look at it, well, we should punish them and we should say no, 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 and we shouldn't even think more into it. But I think the real solution comes from listening to why are they wandering the hallways to begin with?
What an excellent point.
You know? Why are they doing these things? Because maybe they don't feel comfortable in a class. Maybe they don't feel their subject material is engaging. Maybe they're just having a bad day. I mean, there are all these reasons, and we have to find out why the students are doing these things. And if we can give them the supports and make them feel more comfortable to learn, we'll have less wanderers, we'll have more engaged students. And if they're wanting to learn, And if we give the teachers the tools they need to support the students, I mean, we will have a wonderful education for our youth.
Jacob, that's a very good answer, because I guess when I heard students wandering the halls, my first thought was, why are they wandering the halls?
It's always why, Bill. We always have to ask why. We shouldn't just not think of these things. We shouldn't just say, this is good, this is bad. We have to look into why these things are happening and how we can help the students. Because remember, it's not an us versus them, it's a we. We're all people. Whether they're young students, they're old students, we're all just people. And we have to realize that we're all humans and we're all on this planet together. And the sooner we come to care about each other, the more compassion we have for each other, only then will our world become a better place.
You know, I want you to take this as a compliment, and I mean that sincerely. You're mature beyond your years. Let's just say that.
Thank you.
No,
I'm an old soul in a young body.
Yeah, well, I'm a young soul and an old body, and that trust me, that doesn't work at all. But if you're elected, are you prepared to? Because I'll tell you, it's going to be a very, and I know you thought of this. It's going to be a challenging new school committee because there's only one person returning. Dan Elias, and Dan's been there, but you're all newbies, and there's the learning curve.
And that's important, that learning curve. I want to learn. I if I don't want it to be something easy, I want it to be this challenge so I can learn and grow and better adapt to the community's needs. You know, that there are going to be things that I don't expect, that I don't realize, but I'm going to learn from those. I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, and I'm going to become a better human from that.
I have to ask you this because you are 18. So when you sat down with mom and dad and said, hey, guess what I want to do? And they said, go to camp, go to the Y. And you said, no, I want to run for the school committee. How did they embrace that?
They were excited. I'm lucky to have parents that support my passions. I have wonderful parents. And truly, I am deeply appreciative for them. They're wonderful. They teach me. They nurture me. They support me. And I know not everyone has those. And I'm very lucky to have that. And I'm very lucky for the support they've given me for my school committee bid or election or running.
Candidacy.
There you go. That's the word.
You made the ballot. I mean, it's official now. You can't change your mind. I mean,
I'm set in. As the young kids say, I'm locked in.
I'm locked in too. You're going to have an opportunity in a minute or two or three to tell the people why they should vote for you. I really want people a couple of things. I really want people to listen to this young man because he has a lot to say and he's got a lot of great ideas. And I think he probably will implement them. But the other piece is, you see how hard and dedicated he's working. We have to get out to that poll and vote. That's what we have to do. Whether you vote for Jacob or you... Whoever you, I don't, you
just
know,
vote.
I don't.
That's the thing. Just vote.
Just
speak
vote.
Your voice. Just vote.
Just
if vote. Everyone voted, it'd be such a great world because, and when you vote and you find someone that votes for someone different, don't get angry.
Oh,
don't be interested. Be curious. Learn.
Yeah.
Discuss. You know, it's not an angry thing to disagree. It should be a good thing.
It's okay to disagree. What's wrong is don't be disagreeable.
Yeah.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, too. As we go through this election cycle, you know my saying, and I know it offends some of you, but this is how I feel. Don't vote, then don't gripe, because you had your opportunity to put whomever you wanted in or out or whatever, or referendums or whatever. You didn't vote, don't gripe, because the people who vote, they can gripe. But those who can't, you can't.
To all the audience members, this is your chance. To have a say in what goes on in our lives. Don't waste that. Really, take it with enthusiasm that you're going to go vote. And think about this. My dad loves telling me this. My first election that I'm going to vote in is for myself.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is... to prepare you, you now will have 3 to 4 minutes to tell the public why they should vote for Jacob Klein.
Well, the public should vote for me. I would appreciate that, any votes for me. But why they should do it? It's because I really have a deep compassion. You know, my heart really aches when I see other people suffering. And I want to bring that compassion. I want to lead with my compassion. I have a lens. I see all the people as a we. We're all together. I see them as that. And a good benefit is, again, I'm a student. Yeah. I'm at PHS. I mean, I'm seeing things in a different lens than everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the system. I'm not connected to the district. I'm in the district. I mean, who else has that? I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm coming in from the lens of a student, not an administrator, not as like a bureaucrat or anything, or as a politician. I'm a student. That's pretty rare to find in these days. And if you really want to vote for someone, and I'll make mistakes, we all do, but I'm going to learn from them. You know, that's why you should vote for me, because I'm willing to say when I've done something wrong, but I'm willing to grow from that, not to be stuck in the past, but to move forward and to become a better person from it.
What, Jacob, as I said, I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78 years old, you can repeat yourself too. You're mature beyond your years. I can't, I thank you for, as I said at the top of the show, I thank you for running, because in today's day and age, people are shying away, don't want to be part of the political structure, but then complain about everything that the people in the political structure are doing. You have decided to become part of it, an active part of it. And that, to me, at your age, tells me you have a wonderful future. And thank you for coming on this program.
Well, thank you for hosting me. And thank you to everyone else who's running in the election.
Oh, you
sure. know, whether we win or lose, I appreciate everybody who's running, and I appreciate everyone who's voting, and for everyone who's just listening in to your show. And I really appreciate you, Bill. You're giving me an opportunity, and I'm so thankful for that. I really can't express it to you.
It's well,
just, you're a wonderful person.
Oh, don't tell people. I got a reputation. Don't spoil it. Jacob Klein, he will be on. He is on the ballot. So if you think he can bring a new dimension to the school committee or whatever, vote for Jacob Klein. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote.
There you go. I completely agree.
Be well, my good friend, and I'll see you at the polls, probably.
Sounds good. Thank you again. Have a great day.
You bet. And you said something, and it's very true. And I want to thank your mom and dad for you and how you've been raised. Talk to you soon, folks. Be well.